The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Folks, welcome to the Eric Metaxas Show, sponsored by Legacy Precious Metals. There's never been a better time to invest in precious metals. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com. That's LegacyPMInvestments.com.
Welcome to the Eric Metaxas Show with your host, Eric Metaxas.
Folks, welcome to hour two, part two. Right now, before we talk to John Zmirak, I know you're not going anywhere because you know Zmirak is in the wings. That's right. You're not going anywhere. I want to remind you, go to our website, metaxastalk.com. We're trying to raise money for refugees in Ukraine. These are people who are suffering because of a weak American president inviting tyranny to come in. I don't want to mention his name, but it rhymes with Biden. People are suffering. We can share the gospel. We can give them food, shelter. We can help these people who are suffering. It's not their fault that they're chased from their homes. Please go to metaxastalk.com. Please, you'll see the banner there. We are grateful to you. God bless you. Now we bring in my friend, John. Is it you? Welcome.
Hey, Eric. Which godforsaken hotel room are you in now?
No, they always put me up in decent hotel rooms. I'm in Columbia, South Carolina, a block from the Capitol, the beautiful Capitol building.
I didn't mean the hotel is bad. I just mean you're having to travel so much.
I never travel this much. This is weird.
I could never be away from my dog the amount of time.
Well, that's the whole thing. I have a wife and a daughter who are with the little baby Georgie. But honestly, this is a very weird season in my life. I don't normally travel this much. It's beginning to get to me. So feel free to pray for me, ladies and gentlemen. And I'm not kidding. It's a little tough. But John, I want to say this. On my last trip the other day, I finished writing this article. I no longer can read Christianity Today, which frankly is sad. It used to be a wonderful magazine. But they have gone, they've drifted left. And at Easter on Twitter, I saw an article by Russell Moore. Okay. Now, I don't think of these people as my enemies. I think that we have differences. I read the article. It was mind-bending. I couldn't believe what I was reading. It was so disturbing. I said, I think I have to respond. And I'm not like you. I don't think in terms of essays. Writing an essay for me is very difficult. But I will tell you, I said, I have to respond to this. It took me a while. But the bottom line is that in the article that he writes, it is genuine. Think of this, folks. Genuine bigotry. People on the left are always accusing people on the right or people who voted for Trump as being bigots. 99% of that is pure nonsense. It's a vile lie. It's worse than nonsense. But here I was reading genuine bigotry disguised as bigotry always is, as something noble. And it was so offensive to me. I said, I have to write about it. So I wrote a piece about it.
Let me jump in. What you saw was class scorn, the kind of nasty, snobbish contempt that we don't see in undisguised form much outside of like a Christmas carol. Like when Ebenezer Scrooge talks about, if they're starving, let them get on about it and reduce the surplus population. Don't we have prisons? Don't we have workhouses? Well, Russell Moore is Ebenezer Scrooge to the Christian right. And when he sees their big friendly families and their burgeoning churches and their patriotic enthusiasm, he curls up in his little ball and says, "Bah, humbug!" and feels genuinely righteous scorn towards these people. we published your piece at the stream, and I was very proud to do it. And we illustrated it with the only image we could have of the Pharisee saying, "Oh, Lord, I thank you that I am not a sinner like these other men," and the tax collector behind him humbly praying. It might not be fair to call Russell Moore a Pharisee because he might be a Sadducee, but that's between him and God.
I never want to make this too personal, but I thought to myself, you know what, folks, we need to deal with what I read in Christianity Today. Now, if you subscribe to my newsletter, ericmetaxas.com, I will send this to you, or obviously just go to stream.org. But my point is, I think we must deal with this. This is not the sort of thing we say, well, everybody has a different point of view. This was published in the pages of Christianity Today. It used highfalutin language, quoting the sociologist James Davison Hunter. And I thought to myself, this is evil. And when I write about the parallels of the German church in the 30s to today, people say, oh, how could you say such a thing? Because these were decent people who had bad ideas and had no clue that those bad ideas would lead to death camps. They had no clue. They were just foolish. They were just unwilling to listen to the prophetic voice of Dietrich Bonhoeffer. And I write about this in my upcoming book, which is called Letter to the American Church. But the fact is, it's happening now, and it couldn't have been more distilled than in the article written by Russell Moore in Christianity Today at Easter.
Right. Actually, he published it on Good Friday. So yeah, it was your penance to read it. What's interesting is when the German church kind of sucked up to the Nazis, there were no death camps yet. There wouldn't be death camps for another 10 years. They were locking up political enemies, but there were no extermination camps. Abortion clinics already exist.
Yeah.
Unborn babies are being burned for fuel for green energy in Democrat-run cities. Things are openly worse. The left in America is more open about its evil. There is less excuse now for the church to collaborate with Caesar, Mammon, and Sodom than there was when Bonhoeffer was writing. Today's people have less excuse.
That's quite right, John. And the thing is, look, it's always the same. People look the other way. They pretend not to see it, or they don't want to see it, or they can't believe that it's really true, and so they make up an excuse. I want to say, I get that. I understand, which is why in the article, I'm hoping to persuade people, look, this is real. This is not a figment of your imagination. You need to know about this. You need to know what people like Russ Moore are saying and what Christianity Today is preaching, because there are tons of pastors in America who go along with this. And they are the pastors that are enabling evil to get a leg up and to destroy this country, to persecute Christians, not just here, around the world. There are Christians being persecuted this minute because of what is happening in the American church today. Yeah. So if you care about Christians around the world, you better care about what is happening here. So that's why I wrote it. And I just want to say, John, it just means a lot to me that you wanted to publish it at the stream. I didn't know where I would send it. I thought of you first, because I just thought, we have to get the word out. There are people wondering, is anybody seeing what people like Russ Moore is saying? Does anybody really listen to what he's saying? Well, here he puts it clear as a bell in the pages of Christianity Today on Easter weekend. I still can't believe when
let me just say bluntly what it is Russell Moore and in other places people like David French was saying. So they were applying to Christians a totally unrealistic double standard. They're saying no matter what the left does, and no matter how they throw their power around, no matter what they do, we can't fight for political power in self-defense, in defense of the gospel, in defense of religious freedom. We can't do that. We have to turn the other cheek. Oh, by the way, my saying this, my advocating turning the other cheek, just happens to make the people at NPR and Harvard and Facebook and Google and other billion-dollar corporations and the U.S. Justice Department and the World Economic Forum, all the forces of Caesar, Mammon, and Sodom love me saying this. But it's still courageous and countercultural for me to tell our side to put down their guns and collaborate, because the Germans will treat us very well. I promise this will save France. I call these people Vichy Christians. They are collaborationists. They already have their reward. I hope they enjoy their mess of pottage. I frankly couldn't stomach it.
Very well put. Folks, we'll be right back with John Smirak. You understand now why you came this way. Because the truth you might be running from is so small. But it's as big. The fight for the unborn is raging in our country. An unprecedented leak from the Supreme Court indicates that Roe v. Wade is on the brink of being overturned. During this critical time, a new movie is about to be released. The award-winning film, The Matter of Life, cuts through the rhetoric and hatred and exposes the real issues surrounding the plight of the unborn. The Matter of Life will be in theaters nationwide for two nights only, May 16th and 17th. If you care about protecting the unborn, this is a movie you'll not want to miss. Go to Fathom Events. .com now to reserve your tickets for a theater near you for May 16th or May 17th and have your own life transformed as you watch The Matter of Life. That's Fathom, F-A-T-H-O-M, events.com, fathomevents.com. There is a battle, folks. It's taking place in America. Whether you're pro-choice or pro-life, you need to see this film. The Matter of Life is the film, May 16th and May 17th. Go to fathomevents.com right now, fathomevents.com. In November of 2020, the Democrats were up to no good. They were planning to pull off the greatest scheme of election fraud in history. They didn't think we would catch them, but we did. Find out what they did and how they did it in the new documentary film called 2000 Mules, directed and narrated by renowned filmmaker Dinesh D'Souza and executive produced by Salem Media Group. With research from truethevote.org, 2000 Mules tells the story of the ones who tried to hijack a presidential election. You'll see the actual video surveillance tapes. You'll see how we tracked their cell phones to box after box as they got paid to carry out this illegal scheme. Watch the movie and decide for yourself. Attend a limited release premiere of 2000 Mules in advance on May 2nd or May 4th. To see the movie in the theater, you must buy tickets in advance at 2000mules.com. Tickets are not available at local theaters. You can also attend a virtual premiere on May 7th, including a Q&A with Dinesh D'Souza. Buy tickets for the virtual premiere at 2000mules.com. That's the number 2000mules.com. Folks, welcome back. I'm talking to John Smirak. What's there to say? John, what's on your mind?
Well, thank you, Eric. I collaborated with my friend, longtime pro-life activist, Jason Jones, on an important piece at stream.org. It's called Once the Law Protects Unborn Kids, Should We Seek Legal Penalties for Women Who Abort Them? That question has actually come up. The left is saying that we pro-lifers want to send women to prison if they have abortions once we have granted legal protection to unborn children. They're saying we don't just want to lock up the doctors and the nurses and the entrepreneurs of the abortion industry. They're claiming that we want to send women to prison. And pro-lifers, some prominent ones, are struggling with how to answer this. If we say abortion is murder, well, if you hire a hitman, and you get caught, the hitman doesn't just go to jail, you go to jail. So if your logic is that abortion is murder, don't you really intend to lock up women who've had abortions once you can get away with it politically? Katha Pollitt once posed this. This is in the back of the minds of the suburban women voters who the Democrats think will rescue the Biden administration from the wrecking ball come November. And so we pro-lifers have to have a principled answer to it. Typically, the answer was always, well, we think the women are the victims, so we would never prosecute the victims. That doesn't quite cut it 100%. Because first of all, yes, it's true. In many cases, women are coerced, pressured, abandoned into having abortions. But not all of them. They're not all innocent, hapless 14-year-olds carried into abortion clinics by their parents. there are adult women who make the rational choice. I don't want this. This is a violation of my liberty. This will stop me finishing Harvard Law School. There are women who are not, by any obvious standard, victims who decide to have abortions. Are we going to take away their agency and infantilize them all by saying, oh, the poor damsel in distress, we'll never punish her no matter what because she's just intrinsically innocent? That's not very persuasive either. So where do we come down? What do we do? Jason and I looked at the history. In American history, there were pro-life laws since the very beginning, and they kept growing in more states. Just as more and more states outlawed slavery, more and more states outlawed abortion as people learned the medical facts. Women were never prosecuted for having abortions in America. Go back further. Go back to English common law, before and after the Reformation. People who did abortions, they were usually witches, would be punished. The women were never punished. Now, that's interesting. Going back to the Middle Ages, when they burned heretics, they still did not punish the women who had abortions. What were they recognizing? What can we learn from them? There is something unique about pregnancy. An abortion is, in a sense, like a suicide attempt. The connection between mother and child is so intimate, it's so close, and so distinct. It's the only human experience like this. Jason and I think in a future pro-life society where unborn children have legal protection, women who had abortion should be treated as if they had done a suicide attempt. They should be forced to have a few days of psychiatric observation, mandatory counseling. We genuinely try to help them recover from a traumatic and self-destructive experience, and we punish the doctors to the fullest extent of the law. We think this is a rational compromise that recognizes the moral seriousness of having an abortion. It's not like getting a hangnail removed, and it's not like getting your hair bleached. It is killing, but it's not like hiring Lee Harvey Oswald to shoot JFK. It's a distinct and special kind of evil, special kind of tragedy, which we ought to recognize and treat as if it were a suicide attempt. That should provide some level of deterrence, but and also some level of help and outreach to women who've gone through something tragic.
That seems to me exceedingly wise and apt, because even before you said it, I was thinking it really is very much like a suicide attempt. Your heart breaks. You know it was wrong. It was terrible, but your heart breaks, and you want to minister to this person who did this, no matter where they're coming from, because it is awful. And Bonhoeffer, when he talks about abortion, he says there's no question that it's murder, but he understands the pastoral side that many of these women are, they're a mess. Let's put it this way. This is not some premeditated murder of the kind that, you know, I want to kill that guy so I can get money. It comes from a place of brokenness. I mean, we can talk on and on and on about this, but I think that's wisdom, because I do think that this will come up. And I think, John, let's be honest, nobody in America, once Roe v. Wade is overturned, all of the histrionics, all of the drama and the mob rule, you know, the pitchforks and the torches outside Kavanaugh's house and Alito's house, all of this is nonsense, because we know that when Roe v. Wade is overturned, you can still get an abortion in America. Anybody who wants to do that will be able to do that. So the
unfortunately,
idea that one thing they might have to travel a little bit, or they might have to go, well, oh, we're very sorry, but you know, if you want a really good nose job, you might have to go to a different state. I mean, the idea that we're outlawing abortion, it's a complete lie. Overturning Roe v. Wade is not the same as outlawing abortion. We need to be really clear about that.
Of course, we want to outlaw abortion in 50 states, and we have to be clear about that. And in the meantime, though, let's say we get it outlawed in 39 states and it's legal in 11 states. We're going to see the difference in those states over the course of time. And that's what Democrats are afraid of. They're afraid that the pro-life states are going to do better. They're going to have more live children born. Black people are going to see, wait, there are more black folks here than there are in other places, because they're not all, 50% of them aren't getting aborted. Also, I think without the murderous backup plan of abortion, young girls will make better choices, are less likely to let themselves be sexually exploited by older men, more powerful men, and get pregnant and get into poverty. So I think we're going to see a decline in out of wedlock childbirth over the course of time. So the red states are going to be experimental labs in healthy, decent human legislation, while the blue states continue to be dystopian hellholes where the streets are covered in human feces.
And this will help young men. Let's be honest. If you're a young man and it's harder for you to find someone that you can take advantage of, you're going to make different decisions. You're going to think, maybe I should get a job so that I could get married and have a family. Those kinds of ideas, which are healthy ideas, are going to obviously increase, because we're going to have a different climate. And so you're quite right. We're going to have red state labs where we're going to see some good things happen.
And that's what the left can't stand. I mean, what ruined their COVID lockdown narrative was Florida. Florida was thriving. People were living. The nursing homes weren't full of COVID patients. People were going to work. People were going to school. Small businesses weren't going bankrupt. That helped destroy the totalitarian COVID narrative that they were trying to impose. And it drove the people in the blue states crazy. They were furious. They said, Ron DeSantis has blood on his hands. There will be millions dead in Florida because he won't follow public health procedures. Oops, Florida did better than the blue states. They can't allow that kind of comparison. They can't allow that kind of competition, because if it happens, the bankruptcy and evil of their policies will be exposed.
Okay, and what this is called, ladies and gentlemen, is it's called the free market. You want to see what does well? Do you dare to throw it out there and let it compete? Let good ideas compete with bad ideas. Let good products compete with bad products. You want to see, do you dare to have a free market of ideas, a free market of products? You will see what the people choose and what they don't choose. If you're afraid that your ideas are bad, you have to subsidize them. You have to have the socialism, not just in the market, but the socialism of ideas, enforced ideas. So this is a really extraordinary moment. And by the way, John, you understand, this was why the states are supposed to decide. You're supposed to let the people decide. If you actually believe in freedom, which the people on the pro-abortion left clearly do not, then you're afraid that some people in that state, they might make a good case against abortion, and then we're all going to be sunk. We're going to be right back, folks. We're talking to John Zmirak. Do not forget to go to metaxastalk.com to donate to help Ukraine refugees through CSI. Go to metaxastalk.com. We'll be right back. If I leave here tomorrow,
in case you haven't been paying attention, the Biden administration has caused a financial crisis, and they have no clue how to fix it. Oil prices have skyrocketed, and when oil prices go up, the cost of transportation and shipping spikes, leading the prices of goods to rise. And when we're already seeing record inflation, that's the last thing we need. Our economy is in trouble, and you need to take steps to protect yourself. If all your money is tied up in stocks, bonds, and traditional markets, you are vulnerable. Gold is one of the best ways to protect your retirement. No matter what happens, you own your gold. It is real. It is physical. It's always been valuable since the dawn of time. Legacy Precious Metals is the company I trust for investing in gold. They can help you roll your retirement account into a gold-backed IRA where you still own the physical gold. They can also ship gold and precious metals safely and securely to your house. Call Legacy at 866-528-1903 or visit them online at legacypminvestments.com.
Tell me, Eric, why is Relief Factor so successful at lowering or eliminating pain? I'm often asked that question. The owners of Relief Factor tell me they believe our bodies were designed to heal. That's right, designed to heal. And I agree with them. So the doctors who formulated Relief Factor for them selected the four best ingredients. Yes, 100% drug-free ingredients. Each helps your body deal with inflammation. Each of the four ingredients deals with inflammation from a different metabolic pathway. And that right there, approaching from four different angles, may be why so many people find such wonderful relief. So if you've got back pain, shoulder, neck, hip, knee, or foot pain from exercise or just getting older, you should order the 3-week quick start discounted to only $19.95 to see if it will work for you. It works for me. It has for about 70% of the 500,000 people who've tried it and have ordered more. Go to relieffactor.com or call 800-4-RELIEF to find out about this offer. Feel the difference.
You live your life in the songs you hear on the rock and roll radio.
Folks, welcome back. I'm talking to John Zmirak. John, people can read your stuff at stream.org, stream.org. What else should we talk about?
Well, Jason Jones and I co-authored another piece at the Stream called First China Came for the Uyghurs and the Vatican Said Nothing. I don't know if people following China news, the most prominent Christian in China has just been arrested, Cardinal Joseph Zen, 90 years old. He's the Cardinal of Hong Kong. So he's from the part of China that was free until 1998 under British administration, and then was turned over to Communist China on the promise that it would retain its free political system. Of course, like all promises made by communists, that turned out to be a lie. And there have been crackdowns and arrests, and China put into place a law that anyone in Hong Kong who violated the Communist Party's authority could be shipped to mainland China, where the courts and the juries would be much stricter. Cardinal Zen helped set up a charity fund that would help fund the defense of people against such extradition orders. China just arrested him and everyone else involved in the foundation. And they face prison time.
90 years old.
90 years old.
Okay, folks, are you listening, folks? Are you listening? We have companies in America making billions of dollars off of China. They arrested a 90-year-old Christian hero. Do you care? Tell us the rest of the story, John.
Well, the Vatican doesn't care. A few years back, the Vatican made an alliance with Communist China against America. Let me repeat that. The Vatican, under Pope Francis, drew up an alliance with Communist China against Donald Trump's America. It was a secret deal negotiated by someone named Cardinal Theodore McCarrick. He's no longer a cardinal because it's come out that he was a pedophile. He had been molesting a child for years. So that's the guy, the crack negotiator.
The cardinal of the Catholic Church in Washington, D.C.
Right. He was the Archbishop of Washington, D.C.
He was cozy with power. He smiled. He pretended to be the face of Catholic faith in the nation's capital. If you wonder why we have so-called Catholic Christians like Joe Biden and Nancy Pelosi, you can look to McCarrick.
So he was friends with them. I mean,
well, of course,
when you see the so-called pro-choice Catholics, they were all pals with McCarrick and with people like him. They're just Sadducees, and they're just together doing the business of Caesar. So McCarrick goes to China. Again, remember, Trump is president, and makes this secret deal. The terms of it are secret, which reminds me of the Hitler-Stalin Pact in 1939. You have two apparent enemies suddenly making a secret deal and an alliance against whom? In both cases, against the Democratic West. In both cases, against the U.S. and England and the free market and the Constitution. It's forces of evil. And in the case of Francis, it's left-wing Marxist-infected Catholicism that is friendly to the sexual revolution, friendly to abortion, friendly to gay marriage, friendly to the destruction of the family. In other words, the forces of evil, the forces of outright evil. So this deal between the Vatican and China was supposed to help protect the religious freedom of Catholics in China. It did not. In fact, it led to more of them being arrested. It led to Protestant churches that don't cooperate with the Chinese government getting bulldozed. They're getting torn down. People going to prison. At the same time, China cracked down on the Uyghur Muslims. 3 million Uyghurs and other Turkish ethnic minorities in what they call the province of Xinjiang, which the Uyghurs call East Turkestan. 3 million of them are in concentration camps right now, getting tortured, getting re-educated, being forced to have abortions, and worst of all, being cut open while they are still alive to steal their bodily organs and sell them on the international black market, which is Forbes magazine reported that. That's not Weekly World News. That's not Fox News.
If you give a penny to the NBA, or if you're a fan of LeBron James, there are people making billions of dollars participating in the satanic evil that John just mentioned going on in China. Folks, if you don't care about this, you are dead inside. We need to wake up. John, and thank you for writing this article.
And the new movie Top Gun, it falsifies American history. In the original Top Gun, they wear a patch from the Flying Tigers, from when the American airmen who helped fight for nationalist China against Japan in 1941. China said, you can't have that because that represents another Chinese regime. So they took it off. Top Gun, this so-called patriotic movie, is catering to, kowtowing to communist China. So no, don't waste your money on Top Gun. Go see something else. Stay home and pray. But don't go see Top Gun because it is part of this sniveling before the communist overlords in China. And we need to pray for Cardinal Zen and the other imprisoned religious believers, Christian and non-Christian, in the totalitarian hellhole that is China. And we need to hold the Biden administration responsible for whatever secret deal they have with the Chinese that Hunter Biden's laptop points to.
Well, John, we're out of time. I want to get you on tomorrow's program to talk to you about 2,000 Mules. That's a great movie you can see instead of seeing Top Gun. Go to salemnow.com, see whose children are they. When we come back, we're talking to our friends, the Talbots. We got some business questions. Don't go away. Thank you, John.
Thank you.
Hey there, folks. Eric Metaxas here. I know you know how much I love Mike Lindell and MyPillow. Well, Mike Lindell and MyPillow right now are offering a BOGO extravaganza. BOGO, buy one, get one. BOGO extravaganza on multiple MyPillow products. Now is the time to join the millions of Americans who've changed the quality of their sleep with MyPillow. Right now, you get the buy one, get one free special MyPillow bed sheets, Giza Elegance My Pillows, the six-piece towel sets, and the roll-and-go anywhere My Pillows. Just go to the Radio Listener Specials page at MyPillow.com. Use the promo code ERIC. That's the Radio Listener Specials page at MyPillow.com. Use the code ERIC or call 1-800-978-3057, 1-800-978-3057. Don't miss this incredible opportunity to buy one, get one free on select products. You'll also receive Mike's book absolutely free. You won't believe it. It's amazing. 800-978-3057 or MyPillow.com. Use the code ERIC.
Our love is alive.
Hey, folks, if you know my friends Pete and Seth Talbot, you know what I'm up against. Bottom line is, when we started out this relationship, I just didn't like them that much. But
why are we here?
Gun,
why,
you guys,
why did we agree to do this?
Because you've grown on me. Somehow, the more we talk, the more I realize you really do know what you're talking about. And I'll be the first to admit it. I see that. Actually, you all of your ideas make sense, but... the last one, what did you want to talk about today? Because this one actually kind of got me, the title.
Well, basically, how great ideas can sometimes be terrible businesses.
I think most people listening to this program, like everybody, has had great ideas that they think, I know I have, that you say, that would be a great idea for a business. You're saying, maybe not.
Yeah, I think, you know, when you look at what goes into making a good business, it has to be a great idea. But the truth is that we've had more failure than success by far. And that I think probably about 7-8 years ago, I realized that one of the secrets that I would say leads to success, eventual success, is repetition testing of ideas that don't necessarily bet the farm. So non-fatal testing. And it's a repetition. It's a numbers game. To me, if you've got good strategy and you learn with your mistakes and you have enough time to experiment, and it's repetition, 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 you can find some just good ideas and turn them into great businesses. But usually it's a lot of great ideas. I've had some ideas where I'm like, this is it. This is it. And it just goes absolutely nowhere. And a lot of business owners structure the business and structure their business plan and wager it all. It is like putting it all on black and hitting the roulette wheel. And what we became really passionate about in our businesses internally was starting to figure out, okay, you've got an idea. And I remember having this conversation in a conference room a couple years ago where an idea was proposed, and it was a pretty good idea, but it had some negative baggage with it. It had what I would call collateral damage potential with it. So it had some real good upside and some downside. And so what most entrepreneurs or small business owners don't know how to do is to distill an idea down and deconstruct it to figure out how to test that good idea while mitigating and lowering the downside. But again, these were things that I started learning. And again, we talked about this last week about how one of the major drivers for me was I don't want people to go through what I went through. And once I started realizing it was a volume game of testing ideas, I realized, okay, well, how do we test without risking everything?
This is so classic Talbot and true confessions. I'm sort of the throw it all on black or throw it all on red. It would be very
easy for me. Are you trying to tell
me
you have a gambling problem?
Well, that
is that what
no,
this is about?
No.
Metaphorically, you're
that's
speaking.
For another
right.
show.
Okay,
right. But that's for another
right.
show. Quite yes. literally. But my point is, my natural state as a risk taker
yeah.
and as an entrepreneur.
Right.
Was if I had a good idea, I would. If I had $100,000, I'd throw $100,000 at it.
Right.
Or sometimes a lot more. I'm actually writing a book. I've just started a book called How to Fail Successfully. See, now what my son has done, we've been working together now for about 18 years.
Too long.
Wow.
Too long.
And what's
help me,
happened
Eric.
Is
get me
we
out.
Have failed.
Yeah,
we have failed
yeah.
like in the last 18 years,
right.
even with our most successful companies,
right.
which we've recently sold. But
we failed more than me.
We failed 100 times.
Yeah.
But thanks to him, we weren't putting $1 million out of whack.
Okay.
We'd sometimes take $5,000, test this word, test
right.
this phrase.
This
so
is big for you guys as I'm picking it up over the weeks. The testing, like limited testing.
Test to just repeat. Yeah, I would say you want the boldness to go heavy, but it needs to be strategic.
Yes.
And I think the trick is ideally you find a partner really where you don't have the timidity and the hesitation and indecisiveness. I'm super decisive. But I moved away from being knee-jerk reactive to things
right.
a while ago because I found that a lot of times I didn't have enough information that my knee-jerk turned into an embarrassment thing later. But I also found that, okay, let's be strategic but bet big. We actually were talking about some of the bigger bets that we've been making over the last years over dinner. And you want to find that right dynamic where when you find something, go hard on it. But do it strategically. And most people that lean towards betting hard don't do it strategically because they're not wired in a way to deconstruct it to figure out how do we go precise. So where our combination really played well is that when I have an idea and I've kind of researched it, I don't have a timid business partner that's like, what do we do about this? He's ready to roll. And then he's amazing at the creative and the execution of this idea so that we can go and attack it. But most business owners don't really know that. So they're wired in a way where you've got people that are super cautious, and so then they don't know how to bet and pursue something and to take the appropriate amount of risk. And one thing you learned in marketing is if you don't put enough dollars into a specific marketing attempt and hold it there, you don't actually get a valid test. So the people that are really, really timid, that are wired in a way of like test, will put their toe out, they don't get results, and then they pull it back. Or you get the too super soon. Knee-jerk that's going to bet it all on black and hit the spin, and they're going to ride that ship all the way down to the bottom of the ocean regardless of the results.
Right.
So it's a matter of finding the right combination.
What we love to do is to work with business owners or leaders, CEOs, sales managers.
Yeah.
To walk through that process. We talked about it before. The first step to solving a problem is defining the problem. We're very, forgive me for saying this so boldly, we are very good at that. We are very good at the science. It has to be the first step. And we love walking through this process with business owners. We just love it. It's what we live for.
You have a track record. I mean, it's why we're talking about this, that you have been tremendously successful, and it wasn't luck. You've been very self-critical. And I also know, and I want to say this for my audience, I know that you care about this. This is not about, hey, we've got a business. No, you actually care about helping people do good things better. So anyway, I should direct people to the website, talbotgroup.com, and you can call them at 866-TALBOT, T-A-L-B-O-T-T.
We'd love to talk with them. We've got a two-minute video on there that they will really enjoy.
At talbotgroup.com.
Yes. Right?
Hey there, folks. What a day. What a day. What a day. Alvin.
Yes.
This has been an amazing day. Folks, I always want to say, I hate for you to miss anything. We have interviewed so many amazing guests today. The same thing tomorrow. If you don't know, sign up for my newsletter. We send out everything to you so it's easily teed up and you don't have to ever miss anything. We've got some spectacular interviews, and I fear you may be missing them. Now, you know, on Spotify, whatever, we never mentioned this, you can just go, hey, Eric Metaxas show, and the show comes up. There's an app you can get on your phone, but we are just interviewing some astonishing people lately on amazing topics. I mean, today, talking to Phelim McAleer about what happened with the Hunter Biden laptop. If you missed that, do not miss it. Catherine Engelbrecht talking about 2,000 Mules. I want to tell everybody in America, you have to see 2,000 Mules. It's the game changer. People kept saying, when are things going to happen? This is part of that. When the information gets out to a certain number of people, there's no putting the genie back in the bottle, the toothpaste back in the tube. There's no getting the cat back in the bag. The horse is out of the barn. Ladies and gentlemen, do you understand? It doesn't happen overnight. It happens one person at a time. But this information is getting out. 2,000 Mules, when you see it, unless you're a cynic, you're going to know. You're going to know the Biden administration stole the election. And then if you have any kind of a heart, you're going to be upset, you're going to be angry, and you're going to say, we need to do something about this. Now, if I'm wrong, I thank God that I'm wrong. I hope I'm wrong. But I've seen the information. I've seen the thing. You're going to see it. So keep praying, keep trusting God, and make sure you use your voice. Speaking of using your voice, we want to remind you, people in Ukraine are suffering. We are doing something with CSI. If you are able to give anything, go to MetaxasTalk.com, not EricMetaxas.com. That's my website. You can find out where I'm speaking. I'm in South Carolina, Columbia, South Carolina today, speaking this evening. Maybe you can come in Columbia, South Carolina. I'm speaking at Erskine College in Due West, South Carolina, Saturday, twice. You can find it out at EricMetaxas.com. But if you go to MetaxasTalk.com, you can see the banner where you can help refugees fleeing Ukraine. It's terrible, the suffering, and it's an opportunity for the gospel to go to these good people, to reach them with the love of Jesus expressed in food and shelter and medicine and other supplies. There's a phone number. I'm going to give it to you because everybody wants to participate. 888-253-3522. 888-253-3522. Very important. Albin.
Yes.
I got to mention one more thing before we go.
Okay.
More and more people are asking about Socrates in the city because now we know that it's at the Union League Club. Okay. This is like on Park Avenue. This is amazing. If you want to know more, folks, go to SocratesInTheCity.com. We want everybody to go. This is an historic event. This is a big deal. This is a big deal. And in order for us to do it, so that we don't have to raise funds, these are the ticket prices that we have to charge. But I promise you, I'm not getting paid. I don't get paid. This is just, we just do these events, but it is just history. And I want everybody to be there. If you can come, go to SocratesInTheCity.com and look into it and sign up. We're out of time. Don't miss tomorrow's show. Thanks for listening.
Three-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.